So let's give our attention now to John chapter 17. Let's turn together there to the Gospel of John in chapter 17, where we'll begin looking at verses 24 and 26 today. As you turn there, how do we know, let me ask you this question, how do we know as followers of Christ that we'll be with Him one day in glory? And you might answer that question, well, the Bible tells me so. Good answer. Yes, it does. And how do we know that we will enjoy being with Jesus in heaven? How do we know that we'll enjoy that time in heaven with Jesus? Well, again, you might say, well, the Bible tells me so, and another good answer, and it's certainly true. The Bible does tell us that. But what about the meantime? What about here and now? How are you to know how to get along here on earth while you wait for that day when you will be with Jesus? And that will be a glorious day when we see Jesus. But how are you to wait around for that day? Are you to be waiting around? Is that what we're doing? Just kind of chilling out, passing the time, waiting around for that day when we get to see Jesus in heaven? Or does God have some greater purpose for why believers in Jesus are still living in this world? You know, the Bible tells us something about that too. Thank goodness. Look with me at John chapter 17, verses 24 through 26. And as I read, follow along there, and we'll see the final three verses of this chapter from the English Standard Version, where Jesus prays for his disciples then. And he's praying for all who will follow him as believers in him, as disciples of Christ in every age. Look at verse 24 where Jesus is praying. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So last week we noted that Jesus prayed in verses 20 through 23 for not only the 11 disciples, but also all who would believe in him through their word, through their witness of the truth of God's word. And the subject of his prayer was that his followers be unified. Now Jesus moves to his final petition in chapter 17. And in verse 24, we find Jesus final petition is a precious reminder for all who trust in Jesus Christ, a precious reminder of the final and greatest home for believers in Jesus Christ. And it's a reminder that they will one day be with Him. We will one day be with Christ. Note how Jesus makes his request of the Father in verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. It's Jesus' desire, he says, that all whom the Father has given him be with him. It's his desire. So, how do we know we will be with Jesus one day? How do we know that what Jesus wants, Jesus gets? We know because we also know that Jesus only wants what God the Father wants. Do you understand that? Jesus gets what he wants because he wants what the Father wants. That's a good lesson for our praying, isn't it? Praying, if you want to pray and have your prayers answered, pray according to God's will. Pray according to God's word. That's exactly what Jesus is doing. In Jesus' earthly ministry, he has been about the Father's business. He's been doing the work the Father sent him to do, and he only prays for the Father's will to be accomplished. We've seen this several times in our study of John's Gospel. Back in chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." John 5 and verse 30, we heard him say, "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." In John 6 and verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So when Jesus prays, "Father, I desire," you can rest assured that what he says next will be in line with the Father's desires. So when Jesus prays, speaking of those who have believed in him, as well as those who will believe in him, whom the Father has given him, "I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am," you can know for sure, believer, if you're a believer in Jesus, you can know for sure that you will be with him one day, and you will be, because Jesus gets what he wants and gets what he prays for because he's praying according to the Father's desires. That's something to praise God over, that you have this certainty, this certain knowledge. You will be with Jesus one day. When you're facing difficulties, what are you tempted to think? And might I encourage you that when you're tempted to think that things that are contrary to God's word or things that would make you worry or be anxious, remind yourself of this foundational truth for all of those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, if you're a believer in Jesus, you'll be with him one day. Now, that doesn't necessarily remove today's problems, but it does give you encouragement to keep going. Something to praise God over. When you're facing the difficulties of living in this world where there are troubles, it's good to have this assurance, this certainty to cling to, and there will be a day when you will be with Christ. And you can count on it because Jesus wants it. And the Father wants it. And this is certainly a blessed assurance, is it not? You remember that hymn, that Fanny Crosby hymn, "Blessed Assurance"? "Jesus is mine, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." How could we not praise God when we have a wonderful truth like that? We're going to be with Jesus one day. You can rest on that. You can ground your faith in Jesus Christ on that truth. So, believer, know this and be encouraged that this blessed assurance is yours, that if you are Christ's, you will be with him one day. Oh, what a promise. But maybe a question that comes to mind is, well, how can I know that it's going to be better there than it is here? Look at what Jesus says as he continues in verse 24. Note the purpose for which Jesus wants with him all those whom the Father has given him in verse 24. And maybe the obvious point to make here as to why that place with the Lord will be better than this place now is the fact that it will be better because Jesus will be there. Now, I know, and I've heard it so many times, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go looking for, and you fill in the blank with whoever you say, but Jesus is the one you're going to look for first. I promise. No matter what you say this side of heaven, because you're going to see his glory. We're getting there. I get ahead of myself here. But how can we know it's going to be better there? Well, first, Jesus is there. But there's more, as they say. Look also at verse 24. Jesus says, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. So Jesus wants all who are his to see his glory. So being with Jesus is better because we'll be able to see his glory. Now, being here on earth as a believer in Jesus is far better than being here on earth as an unbeliever. Because believers in Jesus here and now have Jesus indwelling them by way of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But we get a little glimpse of what it's going to be like in eternity when we see Jesus face to face, because he prays that we would see his glory that God has given him because God loved him before the foundation of the world. And to see the glory of Christ will be to see him in all his splendor, all his majesty, which has all been given him by the Father because of the Father's love for him. We will become more in tune with the power of Jesus Christ when we see him in all his glory. And we'll see and understand even more fully than we can now the love of God the Father for God the Son from eternity past. Now, in a very real way, there were those who saw the glory of Jesus Christ in measure as they witnessed his teaching, as they witnessed his miracles, as they spent time around him and saw him. They witnessed his glory in a measure, but not like we will when we see him in heaven in eternity. They did not see the full measure of his glory and majesty. Because we're learning here that the full revealing of the majestic splendor of Jesus Christ is being reserved for all whom the Father has given him when they are with him. Listen to 1 John 3:2, where it says, "Beloved, we are God's children now." Praise God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we are God's children now. And we ought to praise God for that. "And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is." I want to see Jesus as he is in glory. I can't wait for that day. I look forward to that. So if you're God's child, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can rest assured and look forward to the fact that being with Jesus will be beyond your present ability to comprehend and will be better than it is here now. Even though with Christ in you, by way of the Holy Spirit and the Word guiding you, you have everything you need for here and now. But it gets better when we see Jesus. What you can know this side of heaven is that there will be a day when everyone will know who Jesus is. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, "Therefore God has highly exalted him," that's Jesus, "and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." When you see Jesus Christ, there will be a very special revealing of his glory, which is a result of the Father's love for the Son that has existed since before the foundation of the world, before God created. So all who trust in Jesus Christ will be with him, and we will see his glory. And since Jesus is all about doing the Father's will, he is in fact praying according to the Father's will, and we can rest assured that we will be with him and we will see his glory, and it will be wonderful. So back to the question, what about until then? How are you to get along here on earth while you wait for that day when you will be with Jesus and you will see and experience His glory? How do we get along until then? Note the statement Jesus makes in verse 25. And note that this is not a request. Jesus is praying, but this is not a request. This is a statement of truth. Look at verse 25 again. Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. We're beginning to get a glimpse of how Jesus intends to help us along the way while we look forward to and anticipate seeing Him in glory, while we're still here in the here and now, living with today's challenges. Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. So first of all, Jesus addresses God as righteous Father. And that statement of truth is set in contrast to the truth that the world does not know the Father. The Father is righteous. The world is not. And then Jesus states that He knows God the Father, and that statement of truth is connected to this truth that these people, He's talking about the disciples and those who would believe in the disciples' witness and testimony, and that includes us to this day. Those who become followers of Christ through faith in Jesus Christ, because the Word of God has informed our hearts. We've come to a saving knowledge of faith in Jesus Christ. That these know that you have sent me. There's something about knowing who God is and who Jesus is, and that God the Father sent God the Son, that's intended by God to equip us and strengthen us for the here and now. These of whom Jesus speaks are the disciples, but implied in that truth is that all who come to faith in Jesus Christ will know that the Father has sent the Son. And there's something about that knowledge, even though that's somewhat of a mystery to us, but God intends that knowledge to equip us and encourage us here and now as we wait for the day when we'll see Jesus face to face. What we're seeing here is that there is a revealing work of God that He does in believers in Jesus Christ, a revealing of Himself, making Himself more known here and now. Note that Jesus points to the fact that the world does not know God. And then He says, I know you. And then Jesus proceeds with this truth that those who trust in Him know that He has been sent by the Father. And a good way to think of this is to note that God has made Himself known in Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to earth as a baby, God was making Himself known by sending Jesus to live and take on human flesh and walk on earth in human form, His representation of Himself to mankind. So God has made Himself known in Jesus Christ, and in those who have faith in Jesus, God continues to make Himself known to those who have faith in His Son, to those who believe in God's Word, to those who take God's Word and hide it in their hearts. God continues to make Himself known to give you confidence and assurance to live today in anticipation of that great day. God is making Himself known. He's making Himself known more and more, all in anticipation of that time when His glory will be revealed in all its splendor in Jesus Christ. So how does this ongoing work of God revealing Himself to those who are His, how does it take place? Well, I think that's what we see here in verse 26. And like verse 25, verse 26 is a statement of truth and not a request. Verse 26, there's a truth which Jesus proclaims here and points to, which is instructive about how God reveals Himself to those who believe. Look at verse 26 again. where Jesus says, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known. Jesus will continue. Wait a minute. If you've been here for these studies, you know we've talked about this in weeks past. We're leading up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he will die and be buried, and then he will rise from the dead on the third day, and then after some time he will ascend to heaven to be at the Father's right hand. And he's told the disciples, it's okay, it's going to be okay, because I'm going to send the Helper. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to indwell you. But note this statement in verse 26, I made known to them, past tense, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. How is God doing this ongoing work of making himself known to his people? Jesus says, I'm going to keep making it known. How's that? Through that Holy Spirit that indwells believers. With the Word of God. When it dwells in us richly, God is making himself known. Jesus is continuing to make known the truth that he declares. Jesus says, I made known to them your name, which is the same idea we heard from Jesus when he prayed in verse 6. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. I have manifested your name. Now he says, and I have made known your name. In other words, I have told them about you. I've given them the truth, declared the truth to them that you gave to me to give to them. I've been teaching them your truth with the words that you gave me to give. And implied here is knowing God's name. In knowing God's name is knowing God. If you know God's name, if you understand what it is to know God's name, if you know who God is, you know God, and you're becoming more familiar with who God is, and you're knowing him more and more as you put the Word of God into you. And Jesus, by way of the Holy Spirit, takes the word of truth and continues to make God known to you in your heart, in your mind. And here in verse 26, we learn that he will continue to make God known. He will be faithful to do that. Even as he is physically not with us, he is with us in spirit as he indwells his people. And through the power of the Word of God and the work of the Spirit of God in his people, he is doing that. Even now, as we live here, even as we look forward to that day when we will see Christ face to face, but not everyone in the world has this knowledge of God. We heard it in verse 6. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. We hear it also in verse 25. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, we're seeing here a clue as to the purpose for which God has us here. There are people in the world who do not know God. It is God's people who represent God now. It is God's people who are to walk this earth and to live according to God's word, and to speak the truth of the love of Jesus Christ, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're to make him known so that those whom God is drawing to himself have the word of God delivered to them, and the truth of God's word declared to them. And God, with the word, begins to open their eyes to see who Jesus is so that they can have faith and believe in the Son and be saved. God is still in the business of saving sinners. That's why we're still here. To those who believe in the Son, the Father, with the Word, is making himself known in us. And that knowledge of the Father should overflow from us as we live in this world. And note the purpose, again, for which Jesus makes known the name of God to those who believe. He says in verse 26, ultimately, that he wants that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Listen, if we're growing in the love of the Lord, if we're growing in the knowledge of God, if understanding his love for us more and more, we're going to want to share that love with others around us, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, whom we're going to love as fellow believers, but also for unbelievers in the world, we're going to have compassion on them to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we come back to that question, how are we to get along in this world while we anticipate our eternal home, which will be in the presence and magnificence of the power and glory of Jesus Christ? How are we to get along? We have God's help. And don't forget, we're talking about the Creator of the universe, who's able to help you in your time of need. We are not left without help. We have God's help. As Jesus makes known God's love to those who believe, the same love which God has lavished on his Son, Jesus makes clear will be in those who love him and will be in them. And God intends for his love not to be a stagnant thing, but a growing thing, an overflowing thing. Listen, beloved of God, as God's own precious possession, he not only puts his love in you, he puts his Son in you to help you. We may still be living in the midst of an unloving and unbelieving world, but we have the love of God at work in us through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of Christ. By way of that Holy Spirit's work, we have God's help, and it's with the Word of God that the Holy Spirit does that work. It's with the word of truth. So yes, look forward to seeing Jesus Christ in all his glorious splendor, because that is a wonderful day to anticipate. But know also that here and now, you have the love of God at work in you. God is growing his love in you as he reveals himself to your heart more and more. But how does he do that? He does it as you get into his word, as you put his word into your heart and mind and soul, and you seek to live it out. This is how God has chosen to reveal himself and make himself known to our hearts and minds and souls. He does it through the word of God. We dare not take our Bibles lightly like it's just another book. It is not. It is a supernatural book, where God promises that it is living and active. And yet, when we close it and set it aside, we treat it like it's not alive, that God isn't going to do the work that he promises to do in us when we get ourselves into the Word. As he reveals himself to us, he does it as we get into the Word. We have a part to play in this. We can quench the Spirit by resisting the truth, by ignoring the truth, by taking it lightly as unimportant, by qualifying the truth, saying, oh, that's not what God meant. Oh, that we would long for the wisdom of God's word so that we might know God more fully, so that we might know the growing love of God in us as we anticipate heaven one day. And we're able to endure this day and work for our Savior and serve him and love our brothers and sisters in Christ and take the gospel to the world around us, knowing that God is growing his love in us as he reveals himself to our soul, to our hearts, to our minds with his word. May we humble ourselves before God and his word every day, looking forward to that day when we'll see him face to face, but knowing we have what we need now to endure, to face every day. Listen again to the verse that we began with this morning, Colossians 1 and verse 27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.